I think it'll hit its stride midway through the year and into third quarter. But I'm excited to see solutions coming to the market. I think we're going to see really interesting disruption hit the market as delivery continues, at least from my perspective.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Karsten.
Great that you're back.
Yeah, I'm glad that we're doing this regularly. This is a fun conversation.
Absolutely. So we got very good feedback to our first conversation about the state of the data analytics market. And so we were encouraged by that and said, well, let's do it now quarterly and talk about what's happening in the data analytics market and the structure. We wanted to use again is basically to talk about what we see on the user or buyer side of technology, on the vendor side, the seller side of technology, and also the investment side, the investors. So basically covering all three main actors in that market. Should we start?
We should. I think that's a great agenda.
All right. Let's start with the users, as usual, I can say. And obviously, we are pretty affected by the general economic situation. We already touched on that in our last conversation, Sean. But how have things progressed? What changed? What do you see in the U.S.?
You know, the economic numbers in the U.S. are actually fundamentally reasonably strong. I think what we're seeing from an economic standpoint is more cultural and thinking and so on. So it's less about the actual health of the U.S. and North American economies and more about what people kind of perceive. And I think that perception is still making companies conservative and more strategic in their approach. So it continues to slow things down just a little bit. But I think the good takeaway is fundamentally U.S. economics is improving. And that part's good, but it's going to be a while before the overall business community embraces.
Yeah, but that doesn't sound too bad. I would say over here in Europe, it's still a bit recessive in many countries. I already mentioned last time that it's actually not homogeneous. So we have some economies that are doing not too bad. Spain comes to mind. But others, like, for example, the largest European economy, Germany, where I'm based in, is still struggling. It's definitely in a recession, and we don't really see a fast way out of that. So we are still a bit worse than from what I just heard from you. So, and I can confirm that many clients we work with, where we do our advisory work, I get this all the time that they say, well, cost awareness, cost cutting maybe even is really top of the list, is something that a lot of companies are really looking into. And that obviously creates also not a great atmosphere for any type of technology investment, despite the Gen AI hype, which does help in some ways.
Yeah, but it's interesting. I think it causes even more conflict because there's this fear of missing out from the end user standpoint. I really want to be part of this innovation. But at the same time, if the economy and the economic outlook from the company is conservative, it's hard to jump into these new areas of innovation. But I'd say, I think the social term is FOMO, fear of missing out. I think that's pretty prevalent here in the US. When I talk to end users, they're very concerned that, if they don't act immediately, they will miss out competitively using these new technologies. So I'm sure you've seen similar.
Yeah, same thing. So, I mean, the Gen AI topic definitely made the boardroom and got very high attention across all industries, more or less. And that sparked also investments. We are now in a stage, I mean, we are now a little bit more than 1 year after the big announcement, more or less like a shock to the market. And what we're seeing is that now we have companies really in the, or first companies in a stage where they are starting to implement Gen AI projects. So it's getting real. Now they learn about it in a more scalable operational way. And many also find out that they have to adjust their data strategies to support this innovation. And again, it's coming back to the very old topics like data quality, data availability, and so on.
It's funny how we always come back to the foundational pieces of the technology. It's cool that you mentioned, you know, boards. This is a board mandate to get involved with AI. We did some research out of the U.S. side of BARC just a few months ago. We found 37% of boards were talking to their executives about additional funding or funding sources to make sure that they're utilizing this type of technology. So it's exciting when it comes from the top to the bottom. But as you just said, you can't innovate the way you would like to with large language models and traditional AI in general, unless you have a solid foundation of highly accessible, integrated, accurate data to feed those ecosystems. So I know that when I talk to end users, a lot of them start with the AI conversation, and we find ourselves very quickly back to, how is your data? And is it ready to do these things? So it's a great piece of insight for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I also found interesting in the same study you just mentioned, that the FOMO, the fear of missing out, is it's not something you should be worried about too much, because we found that 60% of all companies are still in very early stages, meaning exploratory phase, maybe proof of concept, but pretty far away from actual implementation. So if you are also in an early stage as a company, you shouldn't be worried too much, because most of all companies are in that stage anyway.
I like that slide a lot, and I use it when I talk to the end user community, because it's okay. You didn't miss the event. It's just early. You're absolutely right. Researching technology is the prevalent piece there, and companies are doing some POCs, testing to see what works and what doesn't. So yeah, it's very early.
Yeah. But the date you shouldn't miss is when your company has more requirements for ESG reporting. And that's why this is coming up. And that's why we see this also as a real driver to the market next to Gen AI, because obviously this is regulatory driven, and that always helps in starting or funding projects. And it's actually, we found in a research project from last year about ESG that many companies also want to do it on their own. Yeah, so they still don't have to, but they feel obliged to do something, to report on their own efforts, to reduce their carbon footprint, or in the social, on the governance space, whatever. And so that's real driver, where we do see also new projects where a lot is going on, where also the vendors are doing quite well. I mean, it's a big, big ecosystem now with hundreds of startups. It's very vibrant. It's really something going on. So that's a nice part of the market to observe, I think.
I think it's great that BARC is ahead of the curve on this. ESG has been something that the company has focused on for quite a while. It is another data complication. ESG data lives in very interesting locations. So being able to integrate that information and to bring it into a product or into an ecosystem where you can use it's incredibly important. But I also would make a comment that shareholder capitalism as a term has become kind of popular here in North America over the last few years, which is people want to invest in companies that understand the importance of these topics. And that's why, as you said, some firms are doing this not because of compliance or regulatory issues. They're doing it because it's important to them culturally, or the optics of it as a company is important culturally. So yeah, I think ESG is very interesting right now, and it's opening up a lot of kind of pool doors.
Yeah. And we saw a very good response to our virtual conference about ESG reporting and ESG performance management that we put on in October last year. And that's why, by the way, also we put on now an on-site conference just on ESG reporting in June of this year, because we see such a big demand. Let's move over to the vendor side. You reported about the layoffs at the change of the years between 22 and 23, and now between 23 and 24. Actually, we both thought maybe a little bit history repeating, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. And maybe somewhat unexpectedly, and certainly I'm disappointed to see it. I look at a lot of the layoff news that we see in the market, especially in the data and analytics space, and I have to say that a lot of it seems motivated by the bottom line for companies, not so much as strategically as you would like to see it. Some of the big companies, the big global firms are still laying off quite a few people. The undercurrent and conversation around it is that they're re-optimizing their businesses to take advantage of AI. I think that's a convenient answer. I think some of that's happening, but I do think that some of these highly profitable global companies are just driving more profit to the bottom line. But it's part of what sends that message in the market that the economy might not be good when you see the big companies laying people off. So, yeah, a little disappointing to kick off the new year for sure.
Yeah, it is. And this focus on profitability also applies extra pressure on startups or heavily financed, expensive companies. They are often having, or they have to make a lot of changes. Yeah, basically reduce staff, look at the cost side of things. And so we see a lot happening there too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also, it forces companies to kind of put a bigger bet on certain aspects of their go-to-market sort of strategy. So instead of talking broadly, speaking about brand relevance in a market, I see that a lot of the vendors right now are just simply trying to drive leads into their sales funnels to support their direct go-to-market strategies as well as their partner strategies. So again, it causes everybody to tighten the aperture of how they're going to market. And I don't think that always serves. It might be an immediate good thing, but it's maybe not a great long-term strategy, especially for some of these brands.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I mean, what we can observe across the board with the vendors is really a renewed focus on pipeline development or similar activities. So they're pushing pretty hard into that direction.
Yeah. While the vendors are focusing different from a market standpoint, I am excited on the positive side to see a lot of vendors starting to make good on those PowerPoint slides from last year. There was this huge scramble when ChatGPT made its appearance in late 2022, and throughout the year in 23, we saw a lot of slideware and a lot of future planning. And I'm not being sarcastic, that's what it was. It was, we recognize the new opportunity, we're moving in this direction towards it. I'm starting to see delivery here early in the year, which was also a little unexpected. I think it'll hit its stride midway through the year and into third quarter. But I'm excited to see solutions coming to the market, leaving private preview, getting into beta, and companies starting to put harder dates on their GA releases. So I think we're going to see really interesting disruption hit the market as delivery continues, at least from my perspective here in North America. Do you see the same in Europe?
Yeah. I mean, 2024... from my point of view, will be the year where Gen AI really hits the data analytics market. And we saw all the announcements. Vendors had to come up with new ideas, had to think about how do I incorporate this in my roadmap, in my product, and so on. And I think that's done. Everyone has now an idea and a plan. And now it has to become reality. And this is the year where this happened. And I'm really also super excited to see how this actually plays out. And I mean, there are still so many unexplored areas and fields where you could go to with that technology, that we all, I think, feel that we are at the very early stage of this. And yeah, we see the first things happening, but for sure in 2025, we will see many more amazing things happening with this technology.
You and I have a piece of research that's in the field right now where we were asking customers how they're optimizing their architecture. What are you going to do to take advantage of AI? And one of the big trends that's starting to surface in the data shows that customers are going to rely upon trusted vendors in that they already have relationships with. So a large majority of them are going in that direction. So if you're a vendor that's already delivering on AI innovation, you're in a good position to maintain that relationship with your end users and with your clients. So it's interesting that they're heading in that direction. So that's global insight. So as a matter of fact, the early numbers we saw were predominantly from the European side. So we'll have deeper insights on North America soon, but it's interesting that trust plays a role here for sure.
Yeah, because you also could think that it's the opposite is true. Yeah, that this is a very new technology and you want to rather go with the startups and with new vendors that you maybe trust to give you more or better quality or better technology or whatever, because they can do the new things. So I found that quite interesting too, that actually the existing relationship with a vendor is also so important, even though this vendor might be slower to incorporate this technology.
But, I think it underscores another trend that we've talked about before, that I think the vendor community and the customers understand that there's a certain level of risk with AI, as far as risk being maybe going too far, doing things with data you shouldn't do, those types of things. And we also know that there's a lot of regulatory and compliance on the near horizon. In your markets, of course, which really is also a global initiative, is the EU AI Act. There is other acts and regulatory things coming out of North America and elsewhere in the world. I find that a lot of the vendors in the market see that as an opportunity, de-escalating risk, putting features in your software that allow customers to make sure that ethics are involved with utilization of AI, make sure that responsible AI is part of their story. And I think it's very smart of the vendor community to do both.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a topic you have to deal with, or you want to deal with, but definitely you should deal with. And we will, by the way, we will cover responsible AI in several tracks, and also a very highly interesting panel discussion at the Data Festival that's coming up mid-March, 19th and 20th of March. We do have a big international audience here coming to Munich. And we will discuss all the latest trends and developments. And what I'm very proud of is that we have a lot of companies talking about their newest or their actual experiences with Gen AI that really helps them to, basically align their own projects to the experiences of others.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important. I know that the biggest question I'm asked is, where do we start? How do I begin? What side of the pool do I jump in? And having those types of stories and insights from the real world is going to become a big part of the conversation as customers deliver on what the vendors are bringing to the market. So, it's an exciting time to be in our industry.
Yeah, and this will be an exciting event for sure.
For sure.
It's really about Gen AI.
And you sold it out. I mean, it's all fully booked if you got incredible traction with the sponsors and vendors.
Yeah, but we are also restricting the number because we don't want to be this looking like a trade fair, but it's really about the interaction of the community and to be able to allow for that, this good interaction. From our point of view, it's really important to have a good mix. Yeah, so it's we have some vendors there, we have some consultants, but we have a lot of users and we should have the right mix. And that's why we actually restrict the number of sponsors. But you're right, we are sold out. We're quite happy about that. That shows the level of investment of the vendors into that topic. And so this will be a great event.
Fabulous. You want to shift our attention to the investment side of the world?
Yeah.
Are you seeing topics? Are you seeing interesting trends there?
You know what? It has been a slow first quarter. It's a little bit the trend. Yeah. I mean, investments are still starting from the rise of the interest rates, which is now already almost 1.5 years ago. But still, I mean, things have changed. Yeah. So we don't see these crazy investments into small companies that more or less only have an idea, but nothing much more. So that's not happening anymore, which probably is pretty good, I think. And but it's really more dominated. If you look at the investment side, it's really more a smaller scale. It shifted towards, the trending areas. It's Gen AI for sure. I mean, if you have a solid Gen AI technology or story, that attracts investment. If you are in the ESG space, for example, for sure that attracts investments. We see a lot happening there. But apart from that, it's still a bit slow.
Oh, I was just going to say, I agree from my standpoint as well. It seems to be more filling technology gaps, more strategic. Not the big fun and exciting investments that we've seen in the past, and AI is certainly driving it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we shift to the M&A side of things, we saw again rather small scale strategic technology acquisitions. Yeah, so not buying a large vendor, not buying a big customer list, but it's really more about filling technology gaps or adding, typically it's right now, it's really more adding Gen AI capabilities to your traditional software. And we saw, I think, two good examples of that.
Yeah. Click acquired a company, I believe it's pronounced Kindy, to add more expertise to the NLP side of what they're doing around AI and a good strategic investment for them. And then you can correct me on this one, but I know that Databricks made an acquisition. I believe the company is pronounced Einblick, so kind of a German name, meaning insight, if I understand correctly. So, and also for them, it's around AI. So that part doesn't surprise me at all. And I think we'll see more of that this year as a highly focused, smaller, expertise sort of deals are taking place, but certainly not like it's been in the past. Although I do see an undercurrent that doesn't make as much news where the investment community is putting money into some of these smaller companies to see what comes out the other side, not at the same velocity as we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I completely agree. So good job on pronouncing Einblick, by the way.
It's like,
so I definitely looked it up because I said, hey, that's a German name. And it's a good name, yeah, for an analytics company, obviously, inside in German. But it's a company spun off from MIT. So it's definitely a US, US company. But they were addressing a topic which I think will keep us busy or interested for quite a while now, because they were basically looking at Gen AI, but how can I use it in a data and analytics environment or context? And we all know that this Gen AI technology has been developed or is very strong at generating text and images and working with audio and video, but it has not been made for structured data, for data analysis, where you probably want to rely on the data. Yeah, that's correct. So we always have these fundamental issues of hallucination, for example, that we probably don't want in a data analytics system. And they were addressing exactly this. So I think we would for sure see more of that. We see innovation and advancements in this specific topic, the intersection of Gen AI and data and analytics, because there's still a lot to be done and there are still some fundamental problems and challenges to be solved.
I absolutely agree. I think there's a lot of vendors finding space in these ecosystems that allow them to add value and also help them keep their customers out of trouble. Accuracy is one of them. Transparency is another theme. managing models overall and being able to understand what's going on in these complicated ecosystems will be part of the problem and part of the opportunity for vendors in general and from an acquisition standpoint, I suspect.
Yeah, so that will definitely keep us busy for at least the next few years and probably longer.
Yeah.
Sean, has been a pleasure again. I would say if you have nothing to add, we are at the end of today's episode. And all I can say at the end is talk to you again in 3 months.
I'll talk to you again in a quarter.
Bye.
Bye-bye.